Let's pray together as we open God's Word. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be in your house. You've called us to come and to seek your face. And we're here, Lord. We desire to know you. We desire to be filled with your light that would drive out the darkness, that we might let our light shine, and that our chains and the chains of all around us would break, set free to live lives to the praise of your glory. Thank you. We praise you. As we open these words, now this scripture, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher. In the name of Jesus, amen. So yesterday morning, I thought, you know, I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to read Paul's letter to the Philippians. You know, this is the passage, the book that Pastor Greg and I have been preaching now these past number of weeks, ever since the turn of the new year. We've been in Philippians as we've been focusing on God's call to us to arise and shine, to let our light shine in the world, shine like lights in the world as we hold on to the word of truth, right there in Philippians 2. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to sit and just read it through right from the beginning, right to the end. And I sat and I read it, and I looked down at the clock, and I suddenly realized that I had read it in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. Huh. Anybody here sat down and read Philippians lately? And it suddenly hit me. I thought, you know, if you're watching the evening news, you know how easy it is to turn on the evening news and how long that'll run, then you watch the next half hour and the next. But if you were watching the evening news and you just turned it down when it started, you could be done with reading Philippians before it got to the weather report at quarter after. I mean, you could be done that fast. I mean, just sit and just bathe in this thing. Let this thing be immersed in it. Let this letter from Paul just speak to your heart and speak to a call of what it means to live a life for Christ in such a challenging time. You know, I love this book. It's an amazing letter. Philippians flat out overflows with joy and thanksgiving. And here's the hardest part about reading Philippians. This book is so full of joy, so full of thanksgiving, and I have to keep, pinch myself and go, remember, the guy who's writing this is writing it with chains clanking. He's in chains. This guy is being held by Nero. I mean, his life is hanging by a thread. And I have to keep reminding myself as I'm reading this letter, how can this be? How could a man in such a situation have such joy in his heart and something that would stretch 2,000 years down to us and shine light into our heart and shine light into our darkness? Just this week, I received something via Facebook, and it was very clear. They said, this is very sensitive, so we can't give details, but please be lifting up a number of members of the church in our country were detained, and we do not know where they are, and we can't find details. That's present tense right now, and I think about where they are this morning. This was as of Wednesday night at midnight when this came. But Wednesday, here we are a few days later, and those families, and around the world, what it costs to know and to love Christ and to give your life for Christ. And here's a man who knew this time and again. I love this letter because what I see in it, I see joy, I see thanksgiving, and I see love. Love for God and love for God's people, for the family of God. In fact, that's where we're going to start as we open the scripture. Is just let some of these verses that show Paul's heart for these friends in Christ, let's just impact us. Let's start in chapter 1, right at the very beginning of the letter. In verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. What? He praying always every prayer. Anybody been praying always every prayer for church family here at Pleasant Valley? Thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Mark. I mean, we live by prayer. Prayer is, what did Sister White call it? Prayer is the breath of the soul. I mean, if you stop breathing, I mean, you know, What is that? What happens? We're going to live by the reality as we are in touch with the source of life and the source of our power to live as His people. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all. I mean, we hear an all and always and every and all. Listen to this language. All making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day. Hey, we're partners in this thing. We're together in this. He goes, this isn't just for the apostles. This is not just apostle work. This is the work of all of us together. We're partners in Christ. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who began. See, Paul's remembering back to the first time that he went to Philippi. We'll come to that in a moment. He's remembering right from the very first and how God has been at work that this church would be a place where the light of Christ shines. Let's go to the next verses here, verse starting in 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, not just some of you, about you all, maybe you know, that you all here. He says, it's right to feel right about you all because I hold you in my heart. Don't you love that? So often I hear people, you'll hear people talk about Paul, and oh, Paul, he's just a lawyer's mind, and it's really just, I mean, give me John, because the language is so much more loving. Oh, really? When I hear Paul talk about his love for his fellow believers, it's amazing. I hold you in my heart, for you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense of confirmation of the gospel, for as God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I yearn for you. I hold you in my heart. We're partners together. I'm praying for you all the time. Would you please pray for me? By the way, I mean that. Okay? I need that. Pastor Greg needs that. We all need that as a family of God together in this place. Verse 9, let's see what he says here. It is my prayer that your love will abound more and more. Wow, that you would be known as a church of love. I'm just praying they'll abound more and more with knowledge and discernment. He goes, I'm not just going for heart. I want head too. You know, holding head and heart together. But he goes, just abound with love more and more with knowledge and discernment so you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless. By the way, that pure and blameless shows up several times in this letter. Pure, blameless. In chapter 2, it's innocent, blameless, without blemish. But be pure and blameless. You think about what that would mean in the Roman Empire. Oh, how do you live in the Roman Empire and live be pure and blameless there? Guess what? The people in the Roman Empire, if they could see our day, they go, wow, how can you do it there in your time? Roman Empire, we could just paint pictures on walls. I mean, you guys got it in your devices all the time. How do we stay pure and blameless and innocent in such a time as this? Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He goes, hey, our lives are about, remember, give glory to God. What is the chief end of man? How's that go again? Man's chief end, our purpose is what? To glorify God. Second, enjoy Him forever. That's not a bad way to live, Ed. That's a good way. You go glorify God and enjoy Him forever to live in that way. And so, what I see in that last passage, I see it's just a call to be God's people, to live for Him, and to together share in this love that we have together in Christ. One more passage on His love, and that we're going to go right to chapter 4 of Philippians. Therefore, my brothers, and by the way, my Bible has an asterisk. I go down below and it says, this word means brothers and sisters. So, ladies, please, please be part of this, okay? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love, hear the words again. My brothers and my sisters, I love you. I long for you. You're my joy. You're my crown. Stand firm in the Lord. Who? My beloved. My agape ones. Stand firm, my beloved ones. So I look at this and go, man, Paul, you really love these people called the Philippians. These people from the city of Philippi up there on the northern side of Greece, that actually Roman colony that was named after Philip of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great, yes, father of Alexander, and that city. But you love these people, don't you? In fact, let's go and let's find a little bit more about who are these people of Philippi to whom this letter is being written. So now we're going to kind of move over to the book of Acts as we hear Paul and we see Paul in his first contact. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Now, I love this little stretch because it just jumps out at me how present God is in our lives. He says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. What? I'm going, okay, so I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, please help me be open today. Who should I share Jesus with? Would you help me to be open to your divine appointments? And I'm going, oh, there's my neighbor that, is it sometimes possible that the Lord would go, I'm forbidding you to speak to that person today. This is not the right timing. Holy Spirit knows. We're going to lead you instead to, I mean, look what's happening. Look at this intimate connection. You talk about the vine and the branches bearing fruit, but this intimate connection that's taking place. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I'm thinking, Asia seems like a good place to speak. Well, the Holy Spirit said, not this morning, not today. When they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. No. So they went by Mysia and they went down to Troas. This is an amazing picture. I think, huh. So you go to Troas, which is right on the coast there. The Dardanelles up in that area. And let's go to the next verse. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. It's interesting. It doesn't say a dream. I have dreams most every night, okay? Here is a vision. This is a dream with a purpose, a God purpose. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. He sees this, and the Spirit of God said, no, not Asia. No, not here, not Mysia, not Bithynia. No, no. He falls asleep. Come to Macedonia. Wow. Sometimes people ask the question, you know, you say, I'm living my life, and you know, we ask the question around here often. Every Wednesday night, Wednesday Bible Fellowship. By the way, you're welcome to come. We're studying through 1 Corinthians together. We're at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 right now. But we always ask the question before we open the Bible, we say, where do you see God at work in your life? Where do you see God at work? Sometimes people go, well, it seems like God, maybe it seems like God's nowhere. I just don't see God. Where is God? In fact, let's put that up on the screen. Remember this from about a year ago? But God is nowhere? Let's try this one instead. Let's go to our next screen. God is nowhere? Just move the W, just one notch. God is now here. Are you kidding? What do you mean God is nowhere? Yes, God's... I had a lady say to me, I just don't know. I don't see God at work in my life. I said, well, let's start here. Whenever I get to that place, I start at the beginning. Did I wake up this morning? Uh-huh, okay. Then that's where God's at work in my life. I got to wake up. Not everybody did. Okay, I woke up. Did you see? I mean, it's like we have to go back and train ourselves to go and have eyes that are alert and discern. And here they are going, you know, Asia and Mycenae and Mysia and Bithynia. And suddenly here comes a vision. And... on the day of Pentecost, didn't Peter stand up and quote from Joel, the prophet Joel, that your young men will dream dreams and your daughters will see visions and you're going to have all, and the old men and the old ladies, everybody, there's going to be such a connection, a Holy Spirit leading. Was anybody here last week and heard Stan share his story? Wow. Wow. And I know that there have been some questions that have been asked, you're like, wait, well, but that, I mean, vision, remember now, visions are, God works in ways that, because someone shared, well, they said, well, but how did, he had these voices and then out of him stepped Jesus who said, come follow me. And you go, that's, visions work in these ways. I mean, I think what was the vision that Pharaoh had, didn't he see like seven lean cows eat seven fat cows? I mean, visions aren't always, you know, the way we think stuff's supposed to, but here's God at work. And our brother Stan, actually hears and sees Jesus step out and turn to him and say, come follow me, and he come follow. This reality of God is now here is something that you and I must wake up to. Because otherwise we're kind of walking blind. We're kind of going, well, I'm going to church, and you know, and I'm kind of like trying to pray every three times a day around the meals, and the Lord's going, I want so much more for you. I want you to know my presence in your life. So they, by the way, the text goes on to say that the next morning Paul said, hey, I had the dream, I had this vision, we're going to Macedonia, and let's go down. And they went down, booked passage, got the first ship headed out, boom, they sail across to Macedonia and go to the city of Philippi. And guess who they meet first? By the way, they go down to the river on Sabbath. Macedonia does not even have a synagogue. That means there aren't seven Jewish men in town. This is pretty, but there are some God believers, believers in God, and one of them is named Lydia. By the way, you say, well, where are you going to find these believers if you go to the city and you don't, there's not even a synagogue? Where are you going to try to connect with somebody in a pagan city? Everybody knows Zeus. Everybody's, you know, barking at the moon, all the rest of it. But where are you going to find the believers of God? Well, on Sabbath, the text says, on Sabbath, they go down to the river because someone said, oh, I think there's some people that pray by the river on Sabbaths, on Saturdays. And they go down on Sabbath to the river, and who do they find? A group of women. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. That means that she was a successful businesswoman and a woman of means. And she is here as part of this group of women who go to worship God. It says what? She was a worshiper of God. So she's not Jewish, but she has heard of the God who is testified to in the Torah. Even though Moses is not being proclaimed in the city, she gathers with some women and they pray to the God of heaven. You suppose there's anybody like that in Portland? Anybody in Portland maybe reaching out for the God of heaven that isn't connected to any denomination or church group? She's a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul said. And what happens? Verse 15. After she was baptized, well, we haven't heard, I mean, this story goes, whoa. Paul shares Jesus, shows that Jesus is the Son of God. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And Lydia says, sign me up. I want to get baptized. I'm not going to wait 6 months. I'm not going to wait a year. I want to be baptized. And she is baptized. Her household is baptized with her. And she urged us saying, if you judge me, be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Here they are, you know, group traveling, four or five men, and Luke is in this group, and Silas is in this group, and here's Paul, but they go and they stay at the house, her home, while they're there ministering. And you know the rest of the story. The story, you know that what happened is there's a girl that started coming out and saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, telling you how to be saved. She had a spirit, the scripture says, a spirit of divination, and was a fortune teller. She was possessed by a spirit, and she was owned as a slave girl, and her owners made money from her reading people's palms and telling fortunes and all of the rest of that. And Paul, it says, at this point, turns around and says, come out of her. And the spirit comes out, and everybody cheered, right? No. There was some great unhappiness. What? You set our slave girl free? What? What are you doing setting people free? No. She was our income. No. And so they're angry, and they drag him to the magistrates, and things go bad to worse, and from the frying pan into the fire, and the next thing you know, their clothes are being ripped off, and they are being beaten with rods. This is serious stuff. Men, strong men, died from this. These beatings were horrendous. And these rods coming down, these sticks would come down and just bam, bam. And then they take them and throw them. They get to the jail and they say, jailer, put them in the inside dungeon, the strongest. And he takes them, puts them in there. They said, do not let these guys are dangerous. Do not let them escape. He locks them and he says, you know what? I can't just put you in the cell. He locks their feet in stocks. In fact, let's pick up the story. Go to our next verse there in 20:24. Having received this order, he, the jailer, put them in the inner prison. He fastened their feet in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. By the way, why are they singing at midnight? When's the last time you got up and sang at midnight? Why sing at midnight? I mean, your feet are in stocks. I'm sure that the prison cell, that floor, must have been carpeted with really nice, thick, plush carpet. So the only place you could lay down in the stocks would, you could just, oh, that feels so much better. No, they're on hard, stone, cold floor. These guys have got to be close to shock. I mean, they're just, and they are, and instead of the usual cursing, the prisoners are going, what is this? They're singing to this God. They're singing these praises. By the way, what songs would they be singing? The Psalms. They're singing the book of Psalms. That's the hymn book. When we say hymn number 14, they would say Psalm number 14. Psalms, hymns. They're singing psalms to the Lord, and they're praising him as they lay in this prison. And what happens next? The next verse. And suddenly there's a great earthquake. I guess God can do this, can he? You know, we already know that he's present in terms of the dream. He's brought them here to Philippi. He's there, and he already led them to find Lydia. She becomes their first convert and is baptized into Jesus Christ. And now an angel comes and kind of stomps a little bit on the ground, and suddenly there's a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison shake, and immediately the doors are open, and everyone's bonds run fast. So that means this must have been one of those earthquakes, the ones that go like this, and it goes, and the doors start popping, and the chains break off the wall, and these stocks get twisted, and they snap. Everybody's bonds, their chains fall off. I love this picture of liberation. Isn't this good? It's a liberation picture. It's the God who set his people free from Egyptian slavery. He comes here into this dark place, and like a beam of light, bam, light sets free. And the light shines, and stuff happens, and doors break, and locks snap off, and chains fall and clatter to the ground. Everyone's bonds are unfastened. This is a moment of great freedom. And these two guys who are there, I mean, you think about this. Here's two guys who've been so beaten up. Here they are. They're like two birds in a cage. They're singing their hearts out to God. They are the two freest men in the entire city. They're the two freest men in the entire city. Everyone else in town is their lives are dominated by fear. Everyone. I'm talking the jailer. We'll see it in just a moment. Is the jailer scared? Oh, he's scared. His life is on the line if anybody escapes. You'll see it in a moment. The magistrates, are they scared? Oh, the magistrates who are running the whole place, they're scared to death. Because if there's trouble, then someone tells Caesar and then they're in trouble. And the guy, I mean, so everybody's living by fear. And here are the two freest men in town singing their hearts out. And the two freest men now become the light that shines at midnight. And the doors and the chains pop. And everybody gets set free. I love this picture of what... Think about that picture of what you and I are being called to be. We use words like we say, well, you know, we're part of the remnant church. Is the remnant church meant to be people who are free that help others find freedom in Jesus? Yeah. Let's expand our understandings. Let's expand our picture of what it means to be Christ followers. The bonds are all unfastened. I want to share with you a statement here from a man named Jean-Jacques Rousseau. What does he say? Quote, "Man is born free, but everywhere he is in chains." We're born free, but everywhere you look, mankind, men and women, are in chains. So, we'll leave the story for a moment and just ask the question, any chains in your life? Any chains that you know? Any addiction? Any issue of addiction in our lives? Any internal compulsion that is just overwhelming, that actually runs us and is a slave driver in our lives? Anybody need to be healed from past hurts, remembering what was done and who did what and when, and can see the face? And anybody need that freedom? Paul has been called. This is a theologian. His name was F.F. Bruce. He has a book. The title of the book is Paul, the Apostle of the Heart Set Free. That line sings for me. Paul, the apostle of the heart set free. When I read those words and when I hear those words, I go, that's what I want. I want to be George, whose heart is set free. Free for God. Free for what God created me to be. Freedom in God. Freedom through Christ for God's purpose to be fulfilled in my life. Paul, the apostle of the heart set free. Here's Paul. He's going to soon face this jailer. By the way, Rousseau's statement goes one more line. Look at the next line. One man thinks himself the master of others, but remains more of a slave than they. If that doesn't capture the reality of this jailer, he's the guy outside holding the key, but he's more of a slave than the guys inside who are singing their hearts out to God. It's the jailers who are in jail. They're the ones that are locked up in fear. So let's go to the story of the jailer. When the jailer woke, he saw the prison doors were open. He draws his sword and is about to kill himself with his own sword. You talk about fear. This man goes, no, they've all escaped, and they're going to drag me down to the same town square where they dragged these two guys yesterday and beat them. But for me, when they bring me down, it's going to be a sword to my neck. And everybody's going to be there, and my enemies will be laughing. And no, I'm not going through that. I'm not going to put my family through that. He draws his sword, supposing the prisoners escape. But Paul cries with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer calls for lights. By the way, it's interesting, isn't it? He needs light. Paul's already got light, right? Paul's light is already shining. He's got light in Jesus. This guy calls for lights, rushes in, trembling with fear. He falls down before Paul and Silas. He's now going to, let's go to the next verse, he's going to ask the most important question in the world. And here it is. The most important question in the world. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You can ask no more important question. And it's crucial that we inside the church know the answer to that question. If we get it wrong, then it will blight our own experience and our children and our grandchildren. We need to know salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to know that answer, the good news of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, who saves us, He redeems us, we are just as if we've never sinned, justified, and the same God who saves us and justifies us is the same God who sanctifies us, that we would become like Jesus in our lives, that our families would be blessed. Our families would be blessed that we would say yes to this God and what He's doing in our lives. What must I do to be saved? What is Paul's answer? Verse 31, they, Paul and Silas, respond, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. And they spoke, because, by the way, it's not here, but what was his next question? He said, what must I do to be saved? They say, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be. His next question is, who's Jesus? That's his next question. Remember, there's not even a synagogue in town. Who's this Jesus? So they speak the word of the Lord. They tell him the story of Jesus. And after they tell him the story of Jesus to him and everyone in the house, he takes the same hour of night, he takes them, and then he takes, oh, by the way, isn't this something? These guys are so beaten up, they tell the story of Jesus, and then he goes, oh, you guys, you're still, oh, and then he takes and washes their wounds and tries to, because of all the pain and all the agony from that beating, washes their wounds, and then what happens? Here it is again. Oh, let's wait 6 months. No. He is baptized at once. He and all in his family. And I love the last verse here. Verse 34. Then he brought them into his house and he set food before them. And he, the jailer, rejoiced with his entire household that they believed in God. Isn't this good? What a beautiful story. These are the people. Lydia, number one. The jailer and his family, number two. Then you can read other names, Epaphroditus, Syntyche, Chloe. I mean, all these names of the people we know from the little church in Philippi. And Philippi itself was only a town of 2,000 people. You think that the witness of this light wasn't shining among 2,000 people? Wow. God at work through someone, who says yes. And through another and another, as they let their Paul, who lets his light shine, and now the light shines through Lydia, and now the light shines through the jailer and through his family, and it starts to, and the light of Christ shines in this city. I love this picture of what God is doing and how he is doing it. So now we're going to share in closing, because this Sabbath is our last Sabbath to be in Philippians. Again, can I just say, would you please sit down and take 10 minutes and read this letter? But we're going to hear his last words to these people. And as I was looking, I thought, you know what? You and I are, and don't misunderstand me on this, but we're kind of like latter-day Philippians, okay? So don't misuse what I'm saying here, but we are latter-day Philippians. The same things he's writing to them, he is writing to us who are called to arise and let our light to shine like lights in the world as we hold fast to the word of life. Here are his closing words, and we're going to hit several passages. Let's go back to Philippians 4. Remember, he's writing with chains clanking. Here he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." Remember earlier in the letter he said, yeah, I know that, you know, it's possible that this might be my last hour, and I might, Philippians 1 there, but no, the Lord, it's okay, because my life is in the Lord. Don't be anxious about anything. Here's a question. I saw this in a, you know, every once in a while, Hollywood comes up with a good line, right? And a good memorable line. Often they do, but here's a good line that from a thing called Bridge of Spies, where there's supposed to be an exchange of spies over in Berlin and all this. But this lawyer, he's talking to this man who's being held, who had been a spy in America, and he says, "Aren't you afraid that you could be executed? Aren't you afraid?" And the guy sits there and then he goes, "Would it help?" I love that line. "Aren't you worried? Would it help?" I don't. And then when they stand on the bridge to be exchanged, he looks at him and he says, "When they take you back to the Soviet Union, what's going to happen to you? Is it possible that you're going to get it in the neck when you go home? Are you worried about that?" And there's the second time in the movie he goes, "Would it help?" I'm holding on to that line. Don't be anxious about anything. Would it help? You know, would that help? "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," there it is, "make your requests known to God." And what happens when you do this? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all..." Hell, the peace that passes... There it is, the verse. "The peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And Paul's saying to those Philippians and to all of us latter-day Philippians, this is the way to live. In Christ Jesus, we're being invited to live in this reality with a peace that passes understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense in the way the world thinks. By the way, his next verse, he says something that to me is, again, this powerful statement about living. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, then watch these things on your TV set." Is that what he said? Oh, yeah. Watch these. Yeah, that's good. If it's true, and it's honorable, and just, and pure, and lovely, and commendable. I mean, see, he's calling God's people to be people of light in the darkness, in what he calls a twisted generation that's around them and all that darkness. A couple more things that he shares in his last words. He says, by the way, he says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And here's the statement. Did you know it came from Philippians? Here it is. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." You talk about light shining out of a prison cell. Wow. And now we come, "My God will supply every need of yours." Anybody nervous? Are you wondering where it's coming from next? "He's going to supply every need according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus." And then Paul ends in worship. "To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Oh, that's the invitation you and I are given, to live in that reality, that Pleasant Valley would be a latter-day Philippian people who would live like this in this world. Paul let his light shine through prison bars right down to this very day. And the last question is, what about me? What about you? Are we going to let it shine for him? Put it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let's stand, lift our voices in praise to this good God who loves us so much in Christ. Lord God, we praise you today because we know that you are the light of the world. You have shined your light into our hearts. Lord, apart from you, it's darkness. But in Christ, we share in this light in the world. We are bathed in this light. We mirror this light. We become the ones that you now call upon us to let our light shine for you. We thank you and praise you that it is light, the light of Christ, that breaks the chains that bind us. If you know this day that the Lord is calling you to open your heart to this God and to say yes to this God, to give him your life, to let him shine through you, just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, please shine through me. May the light of Christ shine. May your people be the light that draws those who are hungry for light. Lord, thank you. Thank you for hearing our prayer. As we say yes to you, may we go from this place to be your people, to let our light shine. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Want to just encourage you that if the Lord has been speaking to your heart, you know he's calling you to give your life to him, to even be baptized, please come to talk to Pastor Greg or myself. Anyone here will help you on that journey. God bless you. Amen.